Good morning, Christ Covenant. If you're new here, my name is Jordan. I'm one of your pastors, and we would like to welcome you. If you're a visitor, we have a gift. Mike has a gift bag for you. Also, if you'd like a pen to jot down some notes or to fill out your Connect tab, which you can drop off at the Connect Center, he also has pens for you there. We'd like to welcome you. Before I get into anything else, this weekend we are remembering Memorial Day, and we especially remember those who have passed, who have fought to protect and provide freedom for us to live in this country. So we think of you, we pray for your families, we thank all those who have served and are currently serving. We thank you for your service. We thank you for fighting for our freedom. This morning we are, This morning, we are unfortunately wrapping up our current sermon series, Connected, where we have been studying Psalm 23, week by week, verse by verse, and this is our sixth week, which would be our sixth verse, the ending of Psalm 23. And I say unfortunately because this has been a blessing in my life. To be able to study these six verses has been a blessing for my family through times of troubles and through times of joy. This has been a reminder of God's provision and love that he has for his children. Amen. As we've been studying this beautiful poem written by the psalmist we believe to be David, we have gained a better understanding of the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. We have studied how the connection between a shepherd and the sheep have utter dependence on the shepherd. This connection is a reliance on the shepherd's intelligent and masterful management and ownership of his flock. And the psalmist is boasting that he has this connection, relationship with his God. He begins by boasting of his shepherd's provision. I shall not want. He goes on to boast of the shepherd's care that gives him peace, that leads him to green pastures of abundance, that leads him to still waters of content. He boasts of the shepherd providing safety. Even in the most dangerous situations, even in the most troubling times, even in the shadows of death. And as we saw last week, he boasts in the shepherd's blessings that he lavishes upon us as he prepares a table for us to dine and to rest at. The goal of this sermon series, Connected, was for us to see the intimate relationship that God desires with you. The Lord has given us Psalm 23 to show us that there is the possibility to have an intimate and deep relationship from the one who created the whole universe. And this is what he desires. So we finish our sermon series with verse 6. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm chapter 23, verse 6. Hear the word of God. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This finishes the reading of God's word. We see Psalm 23 is summarized and wrapped up with this final declaration. The entire poem, as David is writing this, had this final statement in mind. Surely, no matter what, his mercy and goodness will follow me. The illustration of the shepherd and the sheep was used to create the imagery in our head of a shepherd providing eternal provision, all of the needs for his flock. And his desire is that they would experience goodness and mercy. Verse 6 of Psalm 23, for me personally, without a doubt, is one of the most comforting portions of Scripture throughout the entire Word of God. The psalmist writes this verse, and he writes this verse as a fact. He says, this is a fact. He says, surely. Now, surely, in the Hebrew translation, the word ach means surely or only. And so the psalmist David is emphasizing the point that this is true. What I'm about to say is a fact, for sure, no doubt, Surely. A commentator says that this is a fact as indisputable as it is encouraging. The first word of the last psalm, of the last verse of Psalm 23, is reassuring us that surely what's about to be said is a fact no matter where you are in your life. So what that means is your experiences up to now, your whole life, and the experiences you will have until you die or the Lord returns, the sum of your experiences in life, both great and miserable. David says, here's the fact. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. That when all is stripped away, his love is the only thing that will remain. This is stressing the point we made last week when we talked about the shepherd of certainty. That there are not many things that are certain in this life. Relationships aren't certain. Your possessions aren't certain. But you give me one thing that is certain other than the Lord's love for you. It's the one thing that remains. Surely, his goodness and mercy will follow you. Goodness and mercy. These are the benevolent attributes of God's love. Benevolent meaning kind. These are the attributes of God's love. So we are going to look at each of these. The first word used is goodness, or the Hebrew word tob. Now, the first time that word is used is in the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible. So God is creating the earth and he's showing us who he is. That's why Moses is writing this down through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God, from the beginning, is telling us who he is. He is saying, I am the almighty, powerful creator of the universe. Boom, light. Boom, earth. Boom, sun. Boom, life. Animals, water, he's creating everything just by the power of his speech. He is speaking existence into motion. So he is saying, I am awesome in power and mighty in strength. But after each one of those declarations of existence, what does he say? And it was good. So God is saying, yes, I am mighty. I am powerful in strength. But you know what else I am? I'm good. I am good. I am perfect. And as I am creating these things, it is because of my goodness. These things are good because that's who I am. That is my character. I am who I am, and I am good. The second benevolent or kind attribute describing God's love in verse 6 is the Hebrew word wahased. Now, wahased, which is translated into mercy into this version, if you break down the Hebrew word and look at the context, it means loyal love. So God's loyal love will follow you. I don't know about you, but I like the sound of that. Because I think that's something that we as humans, just in our nature, we desire a love that's loyal. A love that's not based on any condition. A love that won't fade, or if it doesn't like my situation, it's just going to disappear. A love that doesn't hold any grudges. I want a loyal love, a real love, a love that stands through the time, that takes the test and stands through the difficult times. And God says he has a loyal love. And the first time that God uses this word to describe himself is Moses is on Mount Sinai, and it's the second giving of the Ten Commandments. And Moses says to God, he's in his presence, and he says to God, God, show me your glory. Tell me who you are. And he does. God says, the Lord passed before him, being Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful, wahased, loyal, loving, and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us. For it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin. And take us for your inheritance. Moses asked for a description of who God is to show him his glory. And the Lord gave it to him. And he was like, whoa. Can I be in your midst? Can I be in your presence? You're going to forgive me of my sin? And we need to understand, as Moses was understanding here, that this promise that God has made for his people to provide for you goodness and mercy was based off no other thing than God's love for us. Think of it this way. When you encountered the Lord, think of it as the Lord handed you a contract that says, what this contract states is that I will love you for all of eternity, no matter what. What this contract says is that no matter what you do, no matter what situation you're in, that I will love you unconditionally for all the days of your life. Not only that, but I will pour out my goodness and mercy to you unconditionally, not based on nothing you've done or will do. And all this contract needs is a signature from God to make this binding. And what God used to sign and to seal and to deliver this contract to it was the blood of his son. And he said, this has been signed. It has been signed by the blood of the lamb, and I will not breach it. And there's nothing you can do to breach it. So forever, I will love you, and my goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Goodness and mercy will be bestowed on you because he has an unconditional love for you. It gets even better. If you're like me in our fleshly state, currently wrestling with sin, I'm not going to deny it. Enemies surround me, this world, the temptations that are in this world, Satan, with enemies surrounding me. And I am tempted and sometimes do hide, try to hide from the Lord. One, because I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed of my sin, knowing that Jesus died for that sin, and yet I still continually to live in it. And two, I just don't feel worthy to be in his presence, this mighty God. So I have this desire or temptation to try to flee from God, to try to hide from his presence. But the beautiful word that comes next after surely goodness and mercy will follow you is a good word. Because what that word means, follow us, in the Hebrew translation means shall pursue. We know what pursue means, right? We pursue. We're created to pursue. We pursue lots of good things. We pursue good relationships. We pursue happiness. We pursue joy. We pursue peace. We pursue contentment. We pursue righteousness. Sometimes our pursuits aren't so good. Sometimes we are pursuing pride. Sometimes we pursue selfishness. So we know what pursuing means. It means we are chasing something. We are going after something. We are tracking something. And the reason that we were made to pursue is because we were created in the image of and God is a God of pursuit. As we read here in verse 6, surely, no doubt, my goodness and mercy will pursue you. Why that's so good is because I am constantly like, Lord, I can't be in your presence. Lord God, I'm sorry, I'm not worthy. Lord God, I want to go into the world. And he's saying, Jordan, I'm following you. I'm following you. My goodness and mercy, I'm following you. I will pursue you all the days of your life. That's our God. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will pursue us. Those who are in his flock. This is the God. This is the one who said, Jesus Christ said, I will leave my flock of 99 right here to go pursue the one that got lost. The one who wandered. The one who is hiding from my presence. I will go after that one and bring him back into my flock. That is our God. Verse 6 tells us that the Lord is pursuing us. Knowing that God pursues me gives me a peace that's beyond even my understanding. Knowing that the Lord will never leave me. That should bring us peace throughout every season of our life. Only goodness and mercy will follow me forever. This should be especially good news for you who are believers, and bad news for you who aren't, because if goodness and mercy aren't following you, what is following you is divine judgment. We know our God's perfect. So if he's perfect and he's good, a perfect and good judge convicts guilty criminals. A judgment has been bestowed. But for those who are in the good shepherd's flock, in the court of law, hand over the contract, I'm good. The blood of the lamb's on me. Finally, David finishes his poem by stating that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you study that word dwell, what he is saying is he will return to the house of the Lord forever. And theologians agree that David is saying, after a long day, he gets to go home. And his home is in the presence of the Lord. Now, we understand this. A particularly stressful week. Particularly stressful Monday. And what do you say to yourself? I just want to go home. I just want to go home. I just want to go home to my house where I'm safe, where I am comfortable, where I can relax, where everything that's in my house prepared for me, a place that I can enjoy. Right? Our home, our safe place, where all of our comforts and needs are met. And David says, I will dwell in the Lord's home forever, where I am safe, where it's been prepared for me, where I can experience the joy and the mercy that God has promised me in his home. David's referring to the presence of the Lord. Jesus himself talks about being a sheep in the home that's provided for them. Jesus is answering them and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin, and the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. The Son, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. David is talking about being in the presence of the Lord, a home, a dwelling place. We know this, even David, as ruling as king, 2 Samuel, he says, and they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent, which is the same word as home that's found in the psalm, inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So he's saying, I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Jesus, again, speaking of being invited into the house of the Lord, says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I'm going. This is Jesus escorting us into our home, the presence of the Lord. This is Jesus painting the picture of a shepherd providing safety and comfort for his sheep. You know, the shepherd and the sheep illustration is not just here in Psalm 23. It is all over Scripture. The theme of a shepherd providing a dwelling place for his sheep is throughout the entirety of the Bible. Listen to two prophets. First, Ezekiel in chapter 37 says, "But I will save them from all the backslidings in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall walk in my rules and be careful to obey my statutes. They shall dwell in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, where your fathers lived. They, their children, and their children's children shall dwell there forever, and David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. And I'll make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will set them in their land and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever." You see, this is a God that desires to be in our presence. He wants us to be, to have this connection with him. Micah in chapter 5, verse 4 says, "He shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." As we finish this sermon series, as we wrap it up today, the idea of having this provision, of having this safety, of having this goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life, I pray that we would learn, that we would desire for the Holy Spirit to work a faith in our hearts that believes that that's true, so that we can experience the peace that comes with having a shepherd whom we trust with all of who we are, with every situation, with every broken thing that we have, that we would trust that he will provide goodness and mercy. That this loyal love, that we would desire to experience it more and more because we are clinging to our shepherd. I want to read this whole thing again. Psalm 23, in its entirety. We've spent 6 weeks studying this, so I believe we have a new understanding of it. So together, I would like to read this out loud and think about these words that we are proclaiming. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Do you see the freedom that's found in this passage? Do you see the peace that's found in this passage? Provision, peace, restoration, guidance, comfort, courage, blessing, goodness, mercy, and a home. That is what's included in these six verses for you. What are we doing wasting our time on the world? We have everything we need in this dwelling place, in the presence of the Lord. And if we believe that, we can experience the peace of God if we find our identity solely in being a sheep in the Good Shepherd's flock. That when everything else is stripped away, I can say God's love remains. That is certain. And nothing will ever, ever, ever take that away from me. God's loyal love for you is unconditional. It'll never fade. No matter what enemy tries to tear you down, God's love, goodness, mercy remains. Six sentences. David, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is able to perfectly describe the connection that the Lord desires for you to have with him by his Spirit. The last word of this text is forever. It will not be taken away. It is everlasting and enduring. The Father's love for us was so deep that he had to take action to ensure that our relationship and connection with him would be that of certain permanency. And we know what that action was. That God would send his Son to be the Lamb of God, to be the sacrificial lamb, to die in your place so that you will be followed by goodness and mercy all the days of your life. That you may dwell in his presence because he sent his Son to satisfy the divine justice that you deserved. To remove your sin, to forgive your transgressions, and to impart in you righteousness, innocence, perfection. This is what the shepherd does for his sheep. He sought us out. He brought us back into his flock. For those of you who believe that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who died on the cross for your sins, only goodness and mercy will pursue you. And you will dwell in the presence of the Lord, in the home of the Lord, forever and ever. Amen.